Welcome back to the Rodcast. It is a One Artist Wednesday edition of the Rodcast. That's when my co-host, the Idillionaire Patrick Davis, who comes up with all the musically themed days of the week, he goes deep down the rabbit hole into the catalog of one specific artist, group, or band. And today, we're all lucky because AC/DC is the featured group for One Artist Wednesday. So we appreciate Patrick hooking us up there. Also, he comes up with the topic for the Big Fat Poll of the Day. And Patrick, give the folks the topic for the Big Fat Poll of the Day, which is posted on X at the Horn ATX.
Big Fat Poll of the Day: which college coach would you want to see a reality show about? We know Mike Gundy was making sound bites and was showing off, and then we're trying to start a feud between him and Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders, another good one to throw on there. Dan Hurley, we'll play some sound from him a little bit later. Dan Hurley is an interesting guy. You could put on that list. You know, Jelaine Cliffin. There's Kim Mulkey. Kim Mulkey, just seeing her pick out outfits feels like a fun enough reality show.
She could do like a fashion reality show, just kind of separate from, you know, basketball. Like fashion will be like the theme of it. And man, I wonder who designs her outfits. Like, is it one person? Because that stuff, you ain't just buying that online or something. Like, so that's what specially designed. Is that one person, or she got a group of ladies or a group of designers, period, doing that? I want to know. The people want to know.
The people want to know, Kim.
The people want to know, Kim. They do. All right, that's a good question there. All right, we got my man Nick Shuley coming up for Setlist ATX, so we'll get to the Horn headlines first. Then we'll get to my man Nick Shuley. Then later on, we'll dive into Rod's Round of the Day. That'll be maybe we'll make that the one about the clutch gene. We'll get into that and talk about clutch genes in the NFL, talk about the most clutch quarterback in the league, and also hear from Dak Prescott, who's pretty clutch in his own right. But first, let's get educated. Let's get updated. Let's get informed on all the top stories of the day with my man Patrick Davis and the Horn Headlines.
All right, your Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. In the MLB, the Astros got a 4-3 win over the Marlins yesterday, with Ronyel Blanco getting his ninth win of the season, pitching seven innings, allowing two runs with seven strikeouts. Alex Bregman hit a two-run homer in the seventh to take the lead, and the Astros pick up the victory, keeping them in the hunt for the AL West division race. Houston will send Framber Valdez to the mound tonight, looking to keep their seven-game home win streak alive against Brian Hoeing in what will be a bullpen game for the Marlins. And the Rangers won their fifth straight following an eighth-inning homer from Adolis Garcia to put the Rangers up 5-4. Max Scherzer pitched 6 2/3 innings, only allowing three earned runs, but didn't pick up the win as he could not get out of the seventh inning. Josh Smith picked up three hits in the game, knocking in two RBIs as he remains the Rangers' leader in batting average this season, hitting .296. Michael Lorenzen will get the start for the Rangers tonight, building on a five-inning performance in his last outing, only allowing one hit. And that is your Horn Headlines.
All right, thank you, Patrick, for the Horn Headlines. Appreciate those as always. All right, let's not waste any time. We'll get to some NFL discussion, get to that Dak audio. I'll also get to the conversation about the clutch gene for NFL quarterbacks. But first, let's get to my man Nick Shuley for Setlist ATX. He has all the info about some of the best artists and musical acts coming into town and where they're performing. So we always get the lowdown from him. So appreciate my man Nick joining us every Wednesday for Setlist ATX. What's going on, Nick? How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man. I got a couple of questions for you. First of all, what AC/DC? Are you a fan of AC/DC? That's our One Artist Wednesday feature. AC/DC, you got any thoughts?
I absolutely love them. In my top five artists of all time, and I was actually just talking to my dad about it this weekend, that like they're currently touring in Europe. Like they don't really tour as much anymore, but they're playing, I mean, they play stadiums. Like they're huge, huge. And so I'm guessing there's going to be a second part of it that hits America, and we were just talking about which show we would travel to, because I've never seen him live, and neither has he. And I like, that's on my list of I have to see that band before they go or I go.
Oh, you see, there you go. You said, Patrick, what, 5 decades now they've been?
I mean, they started in the early 70s.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Man,
so,
when I worked for Sony, I think they moved their catalog over there. They might have always been there. But I happened to be in New York, and the Sony offices were throwing an event that day, and it was a listening party for the new record. So you could, I mean, this was probably like 10 years ago. And so you could hear it before anybody else could. And it was like 2 weeks before it. And they did it at, I can't remember exactly where it was. It was like Irving Plaza or somewhere that has, you know, holds like 5,000 people. And the whole thing sold out in seconds. So they could sell out a music venue of people just playing the album. Like, and like they weren't there. It was just somebody hit play on the sound system and people listened to the record all the way through. And I was like, that's how powerful that band is. They don't even have to be there.
No.
They had nothing to do with it. And they sold out.
The best part is their albums have sounded the same since the 70s. They changed singers and the albums didn't change that much.
Yeah. It's so
that
true.
That is wild, man. All right. There you go. Shout out to my man, Nick Shuley there. A couple other questions before we get started. Let's get to our topic for the Big Fat Poll today. Do you have an opinion on which college coach you would want to see in their own reality TV show?
Yeah, mine's an odd one just because I'm fascinated by him. I would like to see one on Kalen DeBoer. Because I know he's not the most exciting person, but all he does is win. And I want to like understand how he builds and the mentality and things like that. Because if you look at his record, the guy's lost like, 15 games in his career or something? It's insane.
I don't even know if it's that many. It's freaky. He's won, everywhere he's gone, he's won quickly.
Yeah,
like,
and
he's not building it up.
I don't kid that it would be the most exciting, you know, show. But as far as like business or winning or just the mentality in sports, I think it would be fascinating. Now, if we took that question to the University of Texas campus, I would say 100% Jared Elliott, the volleyball coach. He is awesome.
Interesting.
He's this mix of incredible coach, guru, former player, mixed with, you know, businessman that's always out there doing great things for the sport, the program, and like hyping his girls up. And he's incredible. And he is nonstop. Like the guy just never stops going. And I'd be fascinated to watch that. Cause it'd be like, you know, trying to keep track of someone that, you know, you'd have to put like a tracker
GPS
on. Cause like the guy just never stops. And so like, I think he would be a fascinating show, but I do like think the Kim Mulkey one I would watch. I would watch Dion, of course,
exactly. Yep, everybody would. We want to get an odd couple type theme reality show with Dion and Mike Gundy.
I mean, Gundy would be, I mean, he is, gosh, man, he can't help us. I still firmly believe that he is like one of the best coaches in college football. If he would
really
just stop giving interviews, like he would have that guy would be at a major program.
You're right, actually. That's a great point. No, that's a great point.
He wins.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree with you on that.
I mean, last year they weren't. I mean, didn't they lose? They lost to like who was it? They lost in the first or second week?
Alabama. It was like Alabama State or Northern Alabama.
Everybody wrote him off.
You're right.
The guy gets to the Big 12 championship game, right? Like he wasn't worried about it. You watch the interviews with him. He's just like, oh, no, we'll get it together. I'm going to try out some other guys at quarterback. We'll figure it out.
They lost to South Alabama 33-7.
South Alabama.
It wasn't close.
They got whipped by South Alabama.
He's just fascinating, man. Like I don't – and the crazy part is I want to hear the story of like his – because his brother was like the star quarterback for OU, Cale. And like Cale's in the OU system, and then Mike chose Oklahoma State. So there's all these like subplots. I'm just fascinated by him, but I actually enjoy him. This quote was a little he kind of missed on that one, on the drunk driving one. But but generally like I do tend to like him. He tends to stick up for his kids. The whole I'm a man, I'm 40 thing. If you actually like you know peel it back and what he was trying to say, he's like leave my kids alone. These are kids, you know.
Yeah.
And so he's like generally and genuinely a likable guy, but he just says some stuff where you're like, I can't defend you.
I totally agree. That's a great point you made, that if he wouldn't do as many interviews and wasn't as outspoken and wasn't always giving you his truth unapologetically, he probably would have already been scooped up by some other program. But
he'd be in the SEC.
He wants to be at Oklahoma State because they let him do whatever the hell he wants to do.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to call him probably today and say, hey, Mike, man, we want you to tone it down. We need you to tone it down, man. We need you to issue an apology. Nobody's calling him today to say that at Oklahoma State.
The guy's recruited Dez Bryant, Tyreek Hill, Ollie Gordon. Like, you look at the players that have come through that program. Like, that guy finds star talent in places that most people passed on. And
He was giving – he gave – I want to say he gave Kelvin Banks a scholarship offer first.
I think that's
right.
I want
to say he was like one of the first ones. He said that. He was like, yeah, and then he found all these big-time programs. But we offered him first. It was like he is. He's the guy knows. But remember, when he lost that game in South Alabama, if I'm not mistaken, I believe they were – remember at one point they were playing like three quarterbacks?
Yeah. He was rotating
three quarterbacks. It was like, what are you doing? Only he would do stuff like that. He's like, we got to find which one of them can play, so we going to let him play. And it's like, what? Even a movie? What is going on?
Okay, he's my reality show. I'm in. Yeah. That's the one I want.
And then, like, his contract is set up that it auto-renews to add a year onto his contract every single year. So it's always like a five-year deal.
That's amazing.
Just stays at like a 4 or 5 year deal, and it just always adds on at the end of every year.
He's playing chess, y'all. He's playing chess. Like, he really is. We're all playing checkers over here.
He really is, man. He's a wild dude. I'm not going to miss having to play Gundy, because Gundy always worried me. Even when they had bad teams, good teams, Gundy always worries you, because he's a hell of a coach. All right, there you go. That's a conversation with my man Nick before we get started here. All right, let's not waste any time, because I know Nick is a busy man, so we appreciate him spending some time with us for Setlist ATX. So what you got for us, Nick, for Setlist ATX starting today, actually?
Yeah, we got some big names here this week. So tonight we got Austin Indie Folk favorite, Matt the Electrician. He does his Matt the Electrician and Friends at the O4 Center. That's always a cool one. And then tomorrow at the Moody Center, Cage the Elephant, the rock and roll band with Young the Giant, will be at Moody Center. And then a cool one at Antone's, for the fans of the Tiny Desk series
I love those.
Yeah,
man.
Like, so I guess they're touring, and they did kind of like submissions in a contest of, you know, bands doing the best, and then certain ones I think get picked to play each date. I'm not positive on that, but they're doing different bands, and that'll be tomorrow at Antone's, which will be cool. And then for all you Wu-Tang Clan fans, who I believe is the best lyricist of the entire group, the GZA, the Genius, will be there with Inspect a Deck. That'll be over at Empire. And I have seen GZA once, but he went on 6 hours late because he got hammered on 6th Street and passed out in the alley, and they had to wake him up. And he went on at 1 o'clock and played for 7 minutes. So I think this was early in his career, so we can show him a little grace. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. 6 hours late?
Yeah, I think
the fact that y'all stood around, y'all stayed there, good for y'all.
I guess I was dumb. I was, you know, and I got there probably as doors opened at like 7. So I don't know that it was 6 hours, but then he was supposed to go on, I think, at like 10. And then he ends up going on at one. I mean, they were legit like holding the guy up on stage. He played like. It was like 6 minutes, and then he was done. And I was like, that really wasn't worth it. But he's an incredible artist. He's come a long way, I'm sure. Those were the glory days of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, yeah,
so, you know,
man,
you could do whatever you wanted.
They were rap gods at that point. Yeah. No doubt.
And then a really good Austin indie artist, Cactus Lee, will be at Continental Club. And then Friday, some hitters over at Germania Amphitheater, the New Kids on the Block with Paula Abdul and DJ Jazzy Jeff. So for all us folks who remember the 80s.
Yeah, DJ Jazzy. What does DJ Jazzy Jeff do without the Fresh Prince?
I'm guessing he just DJ. I mean, he's actually a really good DJ, but I'm guessing he just spins in between DJ sets.
Does he do the MC Scat Cat parts?
Oh, yeah. I love it. Great reference there. Well
that was
done.
Solid. Wait, what was his character on The Fresh? Well, he was just called Jazz. He just went by Jazz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think he was
like
Jazz,
something like that. Yeah.
That's funny.
Thrown out all the time. Uncle Phil would throw him out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was the, you know, the dumb friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Paula Abdul there, too. It's a pretty cool, you know, late 80s show going on
there.
Oh,
that's great nostalgia, man, honestly. Honestly, if I had nothing to do, that'd be something to venture out to, just to kind of have some fun and see. I just want to see the shape of the crowd. And,
people watching outfits.
Yeah, the people watching out there would be great. It'd be great.
I bet you a lot of like girl groups of friends are renting, you know, limos and like all dressing up like they did in like 1987 or something. I guarantee you.
So for the record, if you try and do this, don't pregame like you did back in the day. You can't do it anymore. I've been at too many concerts with a girl being arrested out front, girl gag being arrested out front before the show.
That's a fact.
Because they pregamed it hard, and then they're like, we're not letting you in, lady, because you are hammered. And they're
That's
like,
great advice.
I did this in 1980. And you're like, yeah, I know. You've had four kids since then. You can't do that anymore. Don't pregame like that. You can drink when you get there, but don't pregame that.
No, you're right. Don't do it.
Save on the limo. Just, you know. That'll be good people watching, though. And then a good Americana artist, Mason Lively, will be over at Antone's. And then the man behind the ACL TV theme song, Mr. Gary P. Nunn, will be at Green Hall. And then on Saturday, Janae Aiko, I always mess that one up, at Moody Center. And she's a big R&B soloist. Yeah, she's huge.
Yeah, she's great.
And then artists I really like, Ken Carson, who's kind of hip-hop trap, will be over at Stubbs. And then formerly Mike and the Moon Pies, now known as Silverada, will be at Green Hall. And then if you want to go hear that classic song, God Bless Texas, the band Little Texas will be over at Buck's Backyard there in Buda. Oh, yeah. Nice. And then some good reggae, pop rock, Iration and Pepper will be at Moody Amphitheater outside. And then Sunday, a really good indie rock show at the Mohawk with Pedro the Lion. The aforementioned Silverada will be doing an in-store for free at Waterloo Records on Sunday. That's a cool one to see. And then a 90s country star, Dina Carter, will be at Green Hall. And then the show I'm very excited about, which I will actually be at, the band Camino with this young up-and-coming little pop-punk kid, Knox, will be at ACL Live. And then Tuesday, a big K-pop artist, AB6, no idea how to pronounce that. Once again, one of those artists that's huge that I've never heard anything, they'll be at ACL Live. And I couldn't tell you anything about them except that they're K-pop. And then a good indie rock group, Bay Faction, will be over at Mohawk. And then a really cool pop-punk show over at the Far Out Lounge with Home Team and Stand Atlantic.
Nice. Good stuff there. Appreciate you as always. Nick, how was your 4th of July holiday weekend? Did you do anything special?
Man, I was telling Patrick, I really did absolutely nothing. The only thing I did was go to the Austin FC game, which turned out to be an awesome game.
Yeah.
Even though we got dumped on going out there. Like, it was pouring rain.
What day was that?
This was
Saturday.
And it was like that storm blew in, and it happened to be right as we had, you know, and I got yelled at, of course, because I bought a parking spot that was a little bit cheaper, you know. It was like a block like farther from the stadium, and so, you know, and of course, and I was like, no, it's fine. It's $40 cheaper, and we're like, it's like, that's the lot right there. You could see the lot we park in, and that's like, you know, $80 versus $40. And so I was like, I'm just going to buy the $40 one. Trust me, never heard the end of it, because right as the door shut, the sideways rain started. And you know, the game got postponed for a bit. But then they played the game, man. It was so much fun. And, you know, we had the best time. And it was really cool, too, because they were down 1-0 and then tied it up. And then in like the 70-something or 80th minute, they went up 2-1. So it was cool.
Nice.
So that was my big highlight of 4th of July. But it was by the end, we weren't as like I wasn't as in trouble for being wet, because it was fun and we were over
by
the fan section and everybody was throwing
stuff. To be fair, you would have gotten wet either way.
Exactly.
It's not like it didn't rain in the other parking lot.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, Patrick, thank you. So I mean, trust me, I've tried every argument. I've lost every single one.
Yeah, you're gonna lose that argument, but you know deep in your heart, we were going to get wet either way.
Oh, dude, I felt great.
It's not about that.
I saved $40 on a parking spot, so I was feeling – I didn't care. You could dump that rain on me, so fine.
As you know, Nick, it wasn't about all that in the end. It's about
who
ends up being right.
It's the principle, Rod.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, thanks, Nick. We appreciate you, brother.
Thank y'all. Have a good one.
All right, that's Nick Shuley, always doing a great job of Setlist ATX, and we appreciate his time and his effort. My man Patrick will come back, and we'll get into Raj Rant. Also, we'll play that DAC sound for you on the other side. Raj Rant will be about the clutch gene in the NFL. We'll talk about NFL QBs, and we'll do that when we come back right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real!
My God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
You've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Time to get to Rod's round of the day. A couple of subjects. I wanted to play the Dak audio quickly for you, then we'll get to talking about the clutch gene. So let's get into the Dak audio first. Dak Prescott was speaking to the media after one of his workouts. He was asked, first we'll get into the contract situation with the Cowboys. He was asked, is there any communication? All right, right now currently going on between your camp and the Dallas Cowboys. So are we negotiating at all right now? Because last time Jerry Jones spoke to the media, he implied that they kind of hit a bit of a stalemate in these negotiations. Here's what Dak Prescott had to say.
Again.
Yeah, I mean, there's been conversations back and forth, but for the most part for me, as y'all know, I've been letting my agent do that, especially as we get right here into training camp. Day one of training camp, my mind flips to just obviously helping my team and just doing everything I can within the organization and on the football field to make sure that I'm my best and everyone around me is their best. And the money and all that will take care of itself as it always has.
All right. Important part is, so they're talking. Hopefully that means that they are building toward, you know, getting this thing done before or during training camp. So I think they will, and I've said before, I don't think you get to the doomsday scenario where Dak is playing, actually starting a game on the last year of that deal. That would be the most irresponsible, one of the most irresponsible moves for an organization in regards to their quarterback that we've seen in the modern era of football. It'd be just like general manager malpractice. I don't see that happening. The CeeDee Lamb thing, I think they, you know, they're going to sign CeeDee Lamb too. Just might take them a little while. Maybe they want to get Dak done first and then CD. I don't know how much that would matter. I think it would give them more flexibility if they just salary cap wise to get the Dak deal done, because that's the bigger deal and he's going to get upwards of $60 million. But I do think it's going to get done. I feel more and more like it'll get done at training camp when they're in Oxnard somewhere or right before that. That it'll happen. I don't know why the drama, though. I don't know why.
Well, and I mean, there's also the fact that they're paying Dak next year already. They've restructured some of that, so there could be some in the discussion, too, of how do we restructure things to give us a little bit more flexibility so that we can re-sign CD and Micah and push this contract where it is the money moves around. And, you know, if it is a three-year deal that Dak's looking for, then maybe the money doesn't move around enough that you want it to, so you want it to be more long-term so you can push it further down the road. I don't know if they want to have that, but they want to have guaranteed money that they can get out of later on. There's a lot of different ways you could try and make that cap work with signing Dak, but it would make the most sense if you're going to re-sign Dak to bring him first, because he has the biggest salary cap hit on you this year, and he has the biggest salary cap hit on you next year right now. So if you can restructure some of that, move some of that around, it makes it easier to bring in, to re-sign CD, because you know how much room you have there. And then you can start working on the Micah as well and trying to figure out how that money works.
Yep, totally agree with you. Yeah, that should be the order of it, and that would give you the most flexibility and give you as an organization the most salary cap relief in terms of signing those deals. But like we pointed out yesterday, all three of your quarterbacks right now, currently, final year of their contract, your top two running backs, final year of their contract, top two receivers, final year of their deal, and Zach Martin's in the final year of his deal. So your best offensive lineman, your top two receivers, top two running backs, and top three quarterbacks all in the last year of their deal. That does not seem like that's a coincidence. That seems like in the organization that they structured it that way on purpose. Why? I'm not sure. I think it's because they know they're going to pay Dak, they're going to pay CD. Guys, that's going to be around $93 million just for two players. So I think they realize, since we're going to be paying such a big, you know, chunk of our salary cap just to two players, we're going to need discount cheap talent almost everywhere else. And then we can decide, hey, are we going to reinvest in Zach Martin at this age? Or is he going to retire? Does he want a retirement deal so he can retire as a Cowboy and say, I'm playing two more years. Hey, guys, just give me a quick two-year deal, money up front, and then we can be done. You know, what are you going to do with your backup quarterback? You know, are you going to pay Trey Lance, you know, money like that, or Cooper Rush? Are you going to trade those guys potentially? Like, I think they're trying to figure out how they're going to get the cheap talent. Get your running back in the draft, because Zeke and Rico Dotto not really giving you, hell, you're not paying a lot for them, but you're not getting a lot of return on whatever investment you have at running back. You might need to make a more significant investment draft capital wise. So it seems like it's intentional, and I think it's because they know we're going to need cheap talent around our two players who are going to be getting, what, $90-something million of our salary cap. Like, that's a lot of money for them two dudes. A lot of cash. Okay, that's here's the Dak sound. We got one more piece of Dak audio before we get into the clutch gene conversation. And Dak's going to be a part of that too, by the way. Dak was also asked about the headline that went viral, him having on the walking boot when he was on vacation in Cabo San Lucas. Here's Dak talking about why he had the ankle boot on.
Yeah, I'm great. Honestly, I'm getting older. It's the same ankle, right, that I snapped and had a nasty surgery on 4 years ago. So, a couple of hard days of training, and, you get a little sore, and then you're going on a fishing trip, and you want to protect it and make sure that things don't get worse. So, literally, it's absolutely nothing. That's why I said people are reaching, trying to make things that they aren't. I'm getting older, have to take care of my body, have to be smart. And if I can take precautions and lessening something by putting on a boot, I'm going to do it. And so... sorry that it caused such a whirlwind.
No, I love it. If you're a Cowboys fan, you got to love it. I mean, if you're a Cowboys organization, you got to love it. He's being proactive. I'm going out of his way to make sure that, even though it's precautionary, that, hey, man, just in case something crazy happens, yeah, I'm on a fishing boat, but there'll be water there. What if I slip the wrong way, tweak this ankle?
What if
the boat
moves?
Not even worth it.
And then you're fishing, you're trying to pull one up, you put your weight on it too hard, and the boat moves. Yeah, just roll your ankle.
That boot will keep you from doing stupid stuff. You'll be like, nah, I got the boot on. I can't do that. I won't do that. So now hearing his justification for it, I like the move even more. Wear the damn boot. Wear it. You know what I mean? Because he's right about that. As you get older, you'd be surprised where injuries come, how you'll get injured or you can tweak something.
Yeah, and he also mentioned he
more
was like,
more random.
He's basically going, we worked out really hard for a couple days, so I get it where it's like, it's easier for me to rest it in the boot than it is to rest it just trying to put it out there and maybe get it hurt. Yep. No, I get it. He understands the investment. And I'm sure plenty of other owners in the NFL would wish their quarterbacks would understand the investment at the level that they are looking at it of hundreds of millions of dollars and saying, no, you bubble wrap yourself.
Exactly.
Don't
bubble wrap yourself.
You be as healthy as you can be because we are spending a lot of money on you.
Yep. Totally agree. All right. Let's get to, speaking of bubble wrap, a lot of the quarterbacks are bubble wrapped, and that's what I want to talk about right now, the most clutch quarterbacks in the NFL. And basically the formula is a simple one. It's based off their career records in games in fourth quarter comeback situations and game-winning drive situations. So game-winning drive opportunities, fourth quarter comeback opportunities, how often they convert in those situations and lead their teams to wins and what their win-loss or their win percentage is in those games. There is no doubt, if you look at the most clutch player in the NFL, I think by far the way, it's Patrick Mahomes. Unfortunately for the rest of the NFL, the best quarterback in the league, and you can argue the best player in the league, is also the most clutch player in the league. And if his record in fourth quarter comeback opportunities, he wins 50% of those. So 50% of the time that he's in a situation for a fourth quarter comeback, which is when you're down 1 to 8 points within one score with the ball in the fourth quarter overtime. And game-winning drives are defined as tied or down 1 to 8 points. And that's in that situation, that's a game-winning drive. And in game-winning drive and fourth quarter comeback opportunities combined, he wins 53% win percent. You can round it up to 54 if you want to. So 54% of the time when he's got a chance to have a fourth quarter comeback or engineer a fourth quarter comeback or a game-winning drive, Patrick Mahomes does it. And so he's actually second among starting quarterbacks in the NFL after last season in this category. But if you go look at his record in games, and I looked this up in the playoffs, where he is down double digits and has to make a comeback. So this is not just fourth quarter comeback or game winning drive. This is just being down double digits in the playoffs, which I went and looked it up because I remember when the Texans lost a double-digit lead to Patrick Mahomes. And I thought to myself, I watched a lot of football. When you get up double digits in a game, you're supposed to win it. Not if you're a Houston professional football team, but most of the time in the playoffs, if you're up double digits on a team, that's all she wrote. Here are the record for some of the all-time great quarterbacks. And in the playoffs, when they were down double digits at any point in the game, Joe Montana, 2-6, Brett Favre, 1-7, Peyton Manning, 2-7, Aaron Rodgers, 2-6, Drew Brees, 1-8. Even contemporaries now, Joe Burrow, 1-2, Lamar Jackson, 1-4, Josh Allen, 0-2, and you go look at it, what's Tom Brady, 5-8? Okay, and he's the GOAT. Patrick Mahomes, 5-2. He's 5-2. He's the only quarterback that I have found with a winning record in the playoffs after being down double digits. Guys, he's played in 4 Super Bowls. He's been down double digits in every last one of them and has won 3 of them. He's 3-1 in Super Bowls, went down double digits. He's 3-1 in Super Bowls, period, because in all of them, he's been down double digits. If you are Shannon, you got to be pulling your hair out. Now, he lost, obviously, the game against Tampa, but it's amazing. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, that is uncanny. So he, because of that, that makes him even extra clutch to me, that even when you're down double digits against the best competition, you're not out of the game with Patrick Mahomes. You're very much in it, always. Especially the bigger the platform, the more that's on the line, the more at stake, the better he's going to be in those situations. But just because if you have an elite skill set as a quarterback, it'd be nice, it'd be convenient if you also had the clutch gene. But just because you have an elite skill set, elite traits at quarterback, that doesn't mean you have the clutch gene. Just because you have the clutch gene doesn't mean that you're an elite quarterback. The quarterback with the best record or highest win percentage in fourth quarter comeback and game-winning drive opportunities combined is actually Kenny Pickett. He's at 60. He's down there at 64%. Not a great quarterback, but he's got the clutch gene. Jimmy, then he's ahead of Patrick Mahomes in terms of winning percentage. But, okay, we understand. Numbers don't tell you everything. They're like a bikini, all right? They give you a very good picture of everything, but they don't show you everything. They just show you a lot. Jimmy Garoppolo is third on this list behind Patrick Mahomes. He has won 52% of the games where he's had a fourth quarter comeback or game-winning drive opportunity. And those quarterbacks are not considered elite quarterbacks in terms of their skill set, but they have the clutch gene. Hell, Case McCoy was like that. Remember Case McCoy in the Texas A&M game, the last one that was played? Remember him slanging the rock? Remember him taking off and scrambling for that big first down? It's like, how the hell did he do that? Remember him beating Oklahoma, throwing beautiful deep passes all over the field against Oklahoma, just throwing straight-up dimes out there? Case McCoy didn't have an elite skill set at quarterback. He's got the clutch gene. Major Applewhite was like that. Major Applewhite looks like, man, he honestly, if you saw Major Applewhite just walking back then, just walking, on campus, you'd think, no, there's no way he's a scholarship football player. He might be a walk-on, and honestly, a lot of the walk-ons look like they were in better shape than Major, but Major go out there, helmet look a little too big for him, got love handles, got a bit of a dad bod already, carve your heart out with a spoon. Clutch G. All day. You know what I mean? But would he have an elite skill set at quarterback? Nah, not really. Nope. threw one of the most catchable balls that I've ever seen for a quarterback. Clutch gene. Elite skill set at quarterback? No. Clutch gene. Yeah. I think you can have the clutch gene and that not necessarily translate to your elite upside as a quarterback. You just got that knack for when the game's on the line, that it quality, right? That je ne sais quoi, whatever it is. Remember that great story from Mac Brown back in the day where he says he was at the field standing with Willie Nelson. He was at D. Carra Stadium, standing with Willie Nelson, George Strait, and the late, great Darryl K. Royal. And I guess they had a coaching clinic there. and a high school coach walked up to Daryl K. Roy and walked up to him and said, "Oh, Coach Roy, I love you. Please tell me how I can be like you." And Coach Roy told him, "Well, son, if you have it, you'll make it. If you don't have it, you won't make it. And if you don't know what it is, then you ain't got a chance to make it." And the high school coach looked at George Strait, Willie Nelson, Coach Royal, and Mack Brown, and stupefied with this look of bewilderment on his face, and he just walked away after Coach Royal told him that. And then Coach Royal looked at George Strait, Willie Nelson, and Mack Brown and said, "Hell, he ain't got it." That simple. That it quality, whatever it is. And I think that's part of having that clutch gene. Some guys just got it. Now, for Patrick Mahomes, he's like the Michael Jordan, right? Michael Jordan was the most clutch player in the NBA at the time and the best player in the NBA. That is where Patrick Mahomes is now. He's the best player in the league and the most clutch. That's scary. That's when you can put together a dynasty. That's when you can go three in a row. And you got the best player in addition to the best head coach, best play caller, best GM, arguably, and the best defensive coach, too, in Spagnuolo. Hard to bet against that. Hard to bet against it. And as Patrick pointed out earlier, best tight end, best D-tackle, too. Don't forget that, Chris Jones. Best of a lot of things on that team.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes ain't just it. So it does help your ability to come back in some of those games. But he's the most clutch player, in the NFL. But some of the other numbers, here's Dak. Dak actually ended up making the top five on this list. After last season, after his MVP campaign, he is Kenny Pickett's first, 63%, Patrick Mahomes at 54%, Jimmy Garoppolo at 52%, Jalen Hurts at 50% win percentage in games with a fourth quarter comeback or game-winning drive opportunity, and then Dak Prescott's at 46% combined win percentage in those situations, which puts him fifth right now. So you can argue top five for Dak right now. And this is over the career, by the way. This is career. This is not just last season. This is career. So Dak's got a little bit of that. Now, in the playoffs, very different. And ultimately, that's what separates Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, we've seen it from Jimmy in the regular season. But what about the playoffs? Didn't see it from Jimmy Garoppolo. What about Jalen Hurts? You saw a little bit from Jalen Hurts in the playoffs, but obviously not as much as A. Patrick Mahomes, and then there's Dak Prescott, who has a losing record in the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes, not only a winning record, but the dude is 5-2 in playoff games where he's been down double digits. He's the only quarterback I found with a winning record in that situation, let alone 5-2. He's the only one with a winning record, ladies and gentlemen. We've never seen anything like it. We've never seen anything like it. I can't. It's even hard to explain how clutch he is in those situations. Like I said, a lot of these guys don't have these, like Lamar Jackson, right? He's 44% win percentage in fourth quarter comeback game winning drive opportunities, which is damn good, by the way. That still puts him in the top 10. But man, the playoffs, different Lamar Jackson, right? Regular season MVPs, that's the narrative about Lamar Jackson. But in the playoffs, it's very different for him. The quarterback with, I guess, the least amount of the clutch gene based on this analysis is Mac Jones. Who? Mac Jones. 13% win percentage in situations where he could have converted a fourth quarter or engineered a fourth quarter comeback or a game-winning drive. Justin Fields actually is at over at 15% overall, close to 16%. He's the second lowest on this list of quarterbacks. So that's the clutch gene in a nutshell. There's a lot of different ways you can determine the clutch gene, but there's no doubt about it that some guys, they just have that it quality. Other guys just don't necessarily have that clutch gene quality. Doesn't mean they're not a good quarterback. You'd like you got to have both. That's the capability I talk about, right? Need somebody can put the cape on. Nobody's better at putting the cape on than Patrick Mahomes. I saw it in person at the last Super Bowl. Dude literally just put the cape on the sideline. They were down double digits. Took it out, put it on, went to work. Dismantled a really good defense and is now hunting my boy Shano in his nightmares because the two Super Bowls he's been in as a head coach, he has had – actually in all the Super Bowls that he's coached in now as a coordinator and a head coach, he's had double-digit leads. Damn. He'll get one, though. I think he'll get one, but that has got a hunch of dreams. Only there can't be a lot of coaches that have lost Super Bowls that way with double-digit leads. He had a fourth-quarter double-digit lead on him the first Super Bowl they played against the Kansas City Chiefs. They'll have another one. He'll have another chance to do it.
Yeah.
He's got to find a way to win.
Throw that in with the offensive coordinator for the Falcons. He's not a great – not a great – not a lot of, lot of nightmares.
Oh, but they're GOATs. Yeah. He's losing the GOATs.
Yeah.
He's losing to Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, and he's losing to Patrick Mahomes, who will usurp Tom Brady one day as the greatest, or he will be the second greatest quarterback of all time. He's losing to the GOATs. That sucks. He's like, can I just meet up with a regular, really good all-pro quarterback, something like that, instead of meeting up with the greatest of all time, potentially? Can I get a Josh Allen in there? Can I meet up with Josh Allen or a Joe Burrow? That'd be great. Instead, he meets up with Patrick Mahomes.
Can I get an Eli Manning here, please?
Yes. There you go. Can I get one of those? Can I get one of them? Man. All right, we come back. We'll wrap it up, put it in the oven. We got a Who Said That on the other side. That's when Patrick plays pieces of audio from the sports world, sometimes from beyond, and based on the context clues or based on the familiarity of the voice. Hopefully you can recall and identify who said that. We'll have that right here on the broadcast when we come back right here on the horn with my man Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Davis coming right back. Welcome back to the Rodcast. It is a One Artist Wednesday edition of the Rodcast. That's when my man Patrick, the Idillionaire, my co-host, he plays jams from one particular artist, group, or band. He goes deep down the rabbit hole into their catalog and finds all the bangers. And it was tough this time because AC/DC is the featured group for One Artist Wednesday. So we appreciate my man Patrick hooking us up. How many songs did you narrow it down? I mean, I know you narrowed it down, obviously, the ones you played, but how many did you have to narrow down from your master list?
I had 10 songs. Keep in mind, this is like five albums worth that Bon Scott was on. So we're already just in the Bon Scott era. And then narrowed it, and I still had like 10 hits to pick from.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, five decades of making music. And even my man Nick came in and said, he said top five for him, right? All
yeah,
time?
They're amazing. And like a live band, I really would love to see them live because they're just, it's insane. I've watched live performances of them and they're insane.
Yeah, no, Nick said it's actually something. It's a bucket list kind of thing for him. So it's serious, man. So good stuff there, my man Patrick, for the One Artist Wednesday. Just real quick, this is breaking news that we'll talk about a little bit more tomorrow. But it has been reported that Kawhi Leonard is withdrawing from Team USA.
Shocking.
And
shocking.
It's good. Maybe he's injured.
He's always hurt. He's always hurt.
Yeah, I mean, he had that one magical season where he was healthy in the playoffs for the Raptors.
Yeah.
And it was – and I mean, then his career. Yeah. But he never hit his peak.
No,
that was peak Kawhi.
No, he went finals Kawhi. MVP with the Spurs, and since then he has been nursing an injury.
Yeah, because he leaves the Spurs because of the injury thing.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the Raptors, and he's healthy with the Raptors. So basically it's been – they were like, yeah, you're right. There have been like 3 years where he's been completely healthy. And in those years – he's finals MVP. So it's like, yeah, there you go. That's what you want. Well, at peak Kawhi. I'm not talking about young, developing Kawhi. I'm talking about peak Kawhi.
Peak Kawhi.
We've basically gotten healthy. We've gotten healthy peak Kawhi for like 3 years.
Yeah.
Like healthy peak Kawhi. But they've been amazing. Like he's
– yeah.
When he's healthy, there's no denying the talent. But, hey, man, can't make the club in a tub. The number one ability is availability. All right, let's get to our Who Said That. So that's when Patrick plays pieces of audio, sometimes from the sports world, sometimes beyond the sports world. And based on the context clues or based on the familiarity of the voice, hopefully you can recall and identify who said that.
Now, explain that. You keep that same underwear during the whole March Madness, right?
Yeah, I mean, I only use three during the season. like one for the Big East, one for a non-conference, and then like one for tournament play.
You know, that's really nice to know.
Huh? Yeah. Now, what, I mean, let's really dive deep. I mean, what if they get holes during the A? Still keep them on?
Yeah, I mean, they got to finish the season. You know?
Whether they want to or not.
We bring a hand washer, and then we use the hair dryers in the bathroom.
Nice.
You know, you control the controllables.
I feel like I know way too much about you already.
People like
authentic. That is Dan Hurley. He was sitting in with, what, the Yankees broadcast crew?
Yeah.
That's Dan Hurley there. And, yes, saying that essentially three pair of underwear because of his superstition that he wears during the season. And I think he says later on that he may reset and start with a new underwear the next season, or depending on some research and analysis, no. He may decide to carry over. I guess the underwear are like tattered and they're basically like all worn out
the personal washer and then drying them off with the hair dryer seems a little intense. But then there's Charles Barkley sound of him talking about how he used to wash his uniforms in the shower with him wearing them. And the rest of the crew was like, no, no one else did that, Charles. Just you.
That's why he'd be good on a reality TV show. Yes. You got to stretch the truth. Half truths. Yes. Stretch the truth. Exaggerate there. All right. Thank you, Patrick, for everything you do. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. We'll talk about it right here on the broadcast. We love you guys. We mean that. Take care of yourselves, but more importantly, take care of each other. Until next time, hook 'em and peace.
Hope you're ready for the next episode. Hey.